Richard Kimball. The destination, Death Row State Prison. The irony, Richard Kimball is innocent. Proved guilty, what Richard Kimball could not prove was that moments before discovering his murdered wife's body, he saw a one-armed man running from the vicinity of his home. Richard Kimball ponders his fate as he looks at the world for the last time and sees only darkness. But in that darkness, fate moves its huge hand.
And this is the Fugitive, a KSAV production, Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby and Ken. If you want to join in and do some talking yourself, and tonight we're going to be talking about guest stars, or too few guest stars and too many episodes. If you want to talk about that, 800-407-KSAV, or you can email talk@ksav.org. And since it's a whole new ball game tonight with a new topic, we're going to break tradition. We're going to start with the junior partner of the team over here, deserves a chance. So, Ken, why don't you get things going tonight?
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dave. Happy anniversary, also, I want to say to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, tonight's topic, I'll read a little opening statement, and then I'll just give my opinion. Here's the opening. While The Fugitive was known for getting the best guest stars for most of its episodes, the question remains, why did they continuously bring back the same actors again and again to play different characters in different stories? And did it hurt the series? So that's our subject tonight, and I'm going to say yes, I think it did hurt the series. I think it brought it down a little bit. It made it a little confusing. There was no continuity, and it was inconsistent. Now, I know people will respond and say, hey, you need to suspend belief, Ken. It's only a television series, so just live with it. But the question I would come back with to the directors and writers and the producers, I'm going to say, hey, if you want me to be a fan of your show, if you want me to tune in each week, if you want to entertain me, then you need to tell me a story. Tell me what the series is about and what's going to go on week after week. Don't confuse me. And right away, you know, I was captivated by The Fugitive. You know, an innocent man on the run. He's convicted. He's being chased by a police lieutenant. And so each week I tuned in to see what happens to Richard Kimball. Is he going to get cleared of his name? Is he going to find the guy he saw running from his house? And, but what the series did was they had a certain actor or actress, you know, play a certain part, and then later the actor or actress comes back in another part. And so that kind of irritated me, and I've been complaining on the board for 4 years, Bob knows. And so Bob decided, let's do a show on this tonight. I'll give you a couple of examples. Ed Nelson, he was in The Girl from Little Egypt. He was a bad guy. And then about 10 episodes later, he shows up in another episode, and he's a good guy. So a different character there. One of the most egregious ones that I felt, I think Bob agrees with me, is Pat Hingle. He was in episode 19, Search in a Windy City. He was Mike Decker, and he was a hero. But then later, in episode 48, he returns, and he's a corrupt cop. He's a different character. He's a cop who wants to kill Kimball. And I'm going, hey, come on. I respected Pat Hingle, and now he's a thug. And so many examples like this. You have Nan Martin. She comes back a couple times. Richard Anderson. He has 4 appearances. And very oddly, he shows up as a husband of Donna in one of the episodes. I go, what's going on? In fact, they gave Donna 3 husbands, and one of them was Lynn McCarthy. He was in an episode as a prison warden. And then later, he's the husband of Donna in another story. You got Bruce Dern, you know, three or four times. Telly Savalas, Ed Begley, a couple times. Different characters. Carol Rawson, she holds the record, 5 appearances. I would have told the producers, hey, if you love her so much, make her Kimball's second sister and develop a storyline there. But, well, that's just me. And then you have another egregious one is Andrew Prine. He was Ray Kimball's brother in Home as the Hunted. And then later he shows up in another episode, and he's a murderer. So what's going on here? And then Gerard has 3 wives. I said Donna has three different husbands. Yet we don't know about Kimball's mother. We don't know much about Helen. Diane Brewster, only a couple appearances. And she wanted to be in more, but the producer said, no, we'll just show you on the floor and maybe in a little hospital room, and that's about it. So the debate tonight is this, and I'm going to throw it to Kitty. Kitty, the main question tonight, and you guys got to convince me, did it bother you to see the same actors or actresses play different characters?
Well, it doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, because so much of the time, I mean, I'm kind of coming at the show from a different angle because I never saw it in its original incarnation back in the 60s. I've only seen it in the reruns. And so most of those guest stars, they're just names to me. I don't, you know, I don't really think about them that much. I mean, Nan Martin, I didn't even realize that she was in that second episode, you know, the one where she was the congresswoman. And Bob reminded me that, she was wearing her hair color was darker in that one, but otherwise I wouldn't have known the difference. And most of those other ones, I don't even think about it when I see them. The only instances that I really thought was bad was, you know, as you said, Pat Hingle, who was in such a good story where he was Mike Decker, and then he plays that sadistic cop in Nicest Fella You'd Ever Want to Meet. And I guess maybe part of the reason it just bothers me so badly about that one is just because it was such a bad story. I mean, I really found myself not really caring too much how the story turned out. I just wanted the story to get over with. And I thought it was sad that Pat Hingle ended up in such a bad story after he had been in such a good story. And I felt the same way about Andrew Prine. I mean, if one instance probably bothers me the most about the series, it's probably the one with Andrew Prine, simply because we've seen, since Home is the Hunted, we've seen subsequent episodes where Jacqueline Scott came back and played Kimball's sister. I mean, they didn't ever bring in a different actress to play Donna. Donna has remained with the same actress. And so, you know, not only do they decide to ignore the character of Ray, but they decided to cast Andrew Prine in, again, a very mediocre story where he's just playing a character that's completely the opposite of Ray Kimball. You know, and again, I think part of the reason why it bothers me is because, again, it's just not a real great story. It's not as bad as the one that Pat Hingle did, The Nicest Fella You'd Ever Want to Meet, but it's, you know, but it certainly is not great. I think I gave it an average rating at best. So overall, it doesn't bother me that much because, you know, it was common practice back then, and I think it's even been common practice in subsequent decades. I mean, I can cite you examples of other TV shows that have been on since The Fugitive in the 80s and 90s where you saw different actors coming back to play different characters. So it's not like they did anything that unique. And not only that, I know that in reading Barry Morse's book, part of the reason he got cast as Lieutenant Gerard was because he had made 3 appearances on Quinn Martin's show The Untouchables, where he played 3 different characters. You know, he played 3 different bad guys on three different episodes. So it's not something that's really all that unique.
Quinn Martin did that, in fact, on most of his shows, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah, as I recall, if you go through the others like Cannon or Barnaby Jones or the others, you saw supporting actors back in different roles. That was very common for Martin.
Yeah. So.
Did it hurt the series, though? That's the main question tonight.
I don't think it really necessarily hurt the series to see different actors coming back. I mean, my criticism is more of the writing of the stories that they brought these characters, these actors back in. I mean, I think it's amazing how you had some of these actors in very good stories. Like, okay, you had Pat Hingle in Search in a Windy City, and then you bring him back for that really bad episode. Andrew Prine was in a good episode, Home is the Hunted. He comes back as a different character in a mediocre story. Carol Rosen was in a very good episode called May God Have Mercy, and the next time we see her, it was that dreadful story called Middle of a Heat Wave. I mean, that was truly one of the all-time low points for that series, was that particular episode.
Let me ask Ken, if I may, since you feel that it hurt the series, Ken, these actors were known quantities. So, therefore, their talent, their reliability, their skills were known, and the producers knew they would do a good job. Suppose for the sake of getting different faces out there, you got an inferior performer. Well, don't you think that would have hurt the series?
No, I don't, because a lot of these mediocre or even no-name actors, actresses, I think some of them will surprise you and do a good job. And there were so many people I wanted to see in The Fugitive that we never saw.
But then again, if you think about the stories that The Fugitive has, I mean, like I said, some of these actors came back and were in dreadful episodes. Perhaps part of the reason they were picked to come back in those dreadful episodes is that Quinn Martin knew that these episodes weren't that great, so they needed a strong actor or actress to be in it. That people would maybe, you know, since they'd already seen that actor before, they probably already had a connection with the actor and they liked the actor, so maybe they wouldn't focus too much on how bad the writing of that particular episode really was. So, what do you think, Bob?
Oh, am I still on the show? Okay. I forgot I was still on. First of all, I think we're kind of mixing several things together in the mix here that don't belong together. Multiple guest stars in multiple roles is a separate issue from whether the series was consistent or not. I mean, we could do a whole show on inconsistency alone. So I'm not going to go there. I don't think one has anything to do with the other. But if The Fugitive is to be held accountable for doing this kind of thing, bringing back the same people in different parts, it's the nature of the show that caused them to do that. And that is the fact that they make such a business about guest stars. You just mentioned that. And that was true on all Quinn Martin shows, this focusing on guest stars. So, you know, the show begins, the credits begin to roll, and right away the announcer tells you who the guest stars are tonight, as if that is very important. Oh, by the way, guess who's guest starring tonight? Sometimes it's a big name. Sometimes it's not such a big name. And so that it becomes a big deal. I mean, The Fugitive rises and falls on the quality of its characters, because the writers basically, to kill time, simply create quirky different characters and throw them in Kimball's path and challenge him to get around it. How's he going to deal with those people? So even though David Jansen's in every scene of every show, the fact is that those characters are very, very important. So that when you bring them back in a different role, it really is very striking. You might not notice that on a different kind of series, but you do notice it here, because from the minute the show starts, it's important who the guest star is. They made a big business out of it, so they're partially at fault here for this happening. I'm not all that bothered by people coming back, but it depends on who it is, and it depends on what the story was. If a character is very memorable, and some of them are, then that the person who played that character, in my opinion, should probably not come back later on in the series to play somebody different, because the audience is going to remember that person. And talk about Mike Decker, and that probably is the worst instance of this happening in this series, because that is a very memorable character, and we're not sure during Search and Witness to see whether we love him or we hate him, and we watch his progression from being pretty evil to finally redeeming himself at the end.
All right, we've got to take a quick time out. If you want to join in, do so by email, talk@ksav.org, or 800-407-KSAV. A brief time out. We'll be right back talking Fugitive on Sherevision Radio.
The following conversation is real. It took place on Tuesday, June 8th of 2004, between a Blonde Star advisor and a subscriber.
Blonde Star Emergency, this is Steve. Is there an emergency in your vehicle?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've locked myself in my car, and the keys are on the outside.
Ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Ma'am, I need you to calm down.
Okay. It's just that the windows are rolled up, and I'm starting to sweat. My keys are on the outside.
Now, your keys are on the outside of the vehicle?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Now, does your car have automatic locks, or...
Yes.
Okay, here's what I need you to do. Take hold of the inside of your door handle there. Are you doing this? The shiny thing. Grab the shiny thing.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, now give that a tug.
Okay.
Did it open?
Yes, oh my God, thank you.
Okay, now what is that noise?
Oh, that's my door alarm.
Yeah, but that only happens if the keys are in the ignition, hon.
Oh my God, you know what?
Your keys are actually in your ignition.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Blonde Star.
That's why we're here. Do you need anything else?
Blonde Star.
No, that's
always
it.
On, because you're always blonde.
All right, we're back talking Fugitive. And tonight it's guest stars. Too few guest stars, too many episodes. Did they hurt or help? And we will allow Mr. Neer to pick up where he left off.
Okay, thanks, Dave. We'll be back 2 weeks from tonight and to begin discussing one of the classic episodes of the series, The End Is But the Beginning. In season one of The Fugitive, Richard Kimball met a woman named Karen. He was so taken by her that he decided to end his life on the run by faking his own death. Of course, it didn't work out that way, but when he gets to season two, he meets another woman named Amy, and he decides maybe he'll try that again, fake his death again after he gets into a car accident. We'll be discussing that. It'll be a two-part show. 2 weeks from tonight will be part one, acts one and two. The end is but the beginning. Getting back to the guest stars, I think my bottom line on this is that you should not bring back any actor who has taken part in a character who has either made a huge impact in a particular story or is deeply involved in the series. Somebody who might have been a continuing character, for instance, everybody mentioned Andrew Prine as Kimball's brother. Yes, it's pretty stupid to bring him back later on in the series because you've already convinced us that this is Kimball's brother. First of all, we didn't even think he had a brother. So you put him in the story, and he was a big part of that story. In fact, that he was basically the whole story in Home is London. And so we're convinced of that. And then he doesn't show up for the rest of the series. They simply write him out of the series. And I suppose in their thinking is, well, he's written out of the series, so don't worry about it. He can come back later on. But the audience has not forgotten it. We still talk about it. We talk about it today. We keep saying how Kimball's brother never came back into the series. And then they bring him back later on in the series, and they have him commit a murder. They make it even worse. So he's a totally different character. I think that does hurt. It doesn't hurt this series. Everybody's asking, does it hurt the series? No, it doesn't hurt the series. But I'll tell you what it does hurt. It hurts the first time that person was in it. If you bring Mike Decker back as a corrupt, sadistic sheriff, it virtually trashes his first performance in our minds. Because now when we think about it, we have to think about both. Oh, remember Pat Hingle? He was so memorable in Search and Witness City. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, how unfortunate that he came back later on. Remember how awful he was? I think that's a big mistake right there. You just don't want to do that kind of thing. We could. There's a long, long list. I went through the Fugitive Recapture yesterday to do a little research on this, and it's a much bigger number than anybody would ever guess. I mean, it was a rare event for somebody to not come back in this series. And I think most of the time it really doesn't matter. And yet, I have to agree with Ken part of the time. I don't know that these kind of numbers, this was really a wise thing to do. Because mixed in that is times when you really shouldn't have done it. And then we have people who never came back at all as anything else, and that was the smart thing to do. Imagine bringing Karen back. We love Karen. She's supposed to be, you know, in our mind, she's the love of Kimball's life, and it's a tragic love story that he has to walk away from her. What a nightmare it would have been to bring her back later in the series as some horrible character. Suppose she came back as a prostitute or something. I mean, that would have been. Ken would have taken a picture and ripped it right off the wall. So it would have been horrendous. So luckily they didn't do that. Then we haven't discussed this yet. We will in a few months. Escape into Black, and a great performance, probably the best performance in the series, by Betty Garrett. She plays a social worker. We'll remember that part forever. And she never comes back. Thankfully, she did not come back. So, and you don't bring back anybody who either played a relative or a confidant of Kimball that close later on. We haven't mentioned Kurt Russell will be doing the story that he was in about a month or two. We'll do a show on that called Nemesis, in which he plays Gerard's son. Everybody, I don't particularly like that episode, but a lot of people do. And then they bring him back at the end of season three. I like Kurt Russell, I always have, but he's Gerard's son. So if you cement that in our minds, you don't bring him back later, it's just another kid. It's ridiculous. And let's not leave out the fact that in the pilot episode, a young actor named Donald Losby played Monica Wells' son. That's in the pilot. And Kim, starts to forge a friendship with Richard Kimball. Then he comes back, I think it's in season two, in a very good episode. I mean, this kid is a great actor, in Cry Uncle, in which he plays an orphan. Well, what happened to him? Did Monica die or something? So I have to agree with Ken, in some instances, that can be a little disconcerting. You start to get just a little bit confused about that. Ken, don't you agree? What would have happened to you if they had brought Karen back in another part?
I would have stopped watching the show.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, it was frustrating. I remember Gerard, we saw the first wife. I guess it was in Never Wave Goodbye.
But that was a very minor part.
Yeah, but you know what? That should have been Marie Gerard. They could have developed a storyline with Barbara Rush, give her a little cameo. And then later, when she comes in Landscape with Running Figures, then we say, oh, yeah, that is Gerard, Gerard's wife. But then
it would have been nice if they could have at least gotten Mrs. Gerard's name straight.
Yeah.
I mean, her name originally was Anne, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they started calling her Marie.
Yeah. They had three different wives for Gerard, but what really bothered me was three different husbands for Donna. That was ridiculous.
Okay, I've got an email when you want it, Brett.
Okay.
I'll go ahead.
And then one other little point. We didn't talk about Suzanne Plachette. She was in that memorable episode as Ellie, the second episode of season two.
Right, World's End.
Yeah, World's End. And then they bring her back in a rabbit story as a different character. Why not just bring her back as Ellie again and do another little story?
I agree.
So did you notice that Kimball got to kiss her both times in both episodes? That was interesting. But go ahead with the email.
Yeah, I'll read it before we run out of time.
All right, this is from Phil. And on this subject, Phil says, I know that the producers used the same actors in different roles throughout the run of the show. I think producers and writers worked with actors that they knew from past experiences that were a known quantity. It also could have been just the availability of certain actors at certain times. That's kind of along the line what I said. And I would add also that it could be that these actors were signed for multiple appearances. That was the only way they could get them and had to put them in somewhere in the program.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I think there's something to be said for that, but we don't know that. I never read that in Ed Robertson's book that they had to sign certain people for multiple appearances in order to get them. It's certainly possible, but I don't know. I don't know that it hurts the series. That's the question tonight. But it doesn't help the series. Let's put it that way.
But this is a 4-year story, and you know just be consistent with the story. That's my main beef.
All right. Well, then if you want to do that, then you want to have kind of a repertory company. You want to have somebody who signs on simply as Donna's husband. Period. That's his job, and if the series runs for 8 years and he wants to stay there, then he's always on that. That's a good idea. I'm not sure it's always possible.
Well, you run the risk. You know, let's say Fred Johnson's character. What if he died in season 3 and then they never had a final episode? What would they use for the one-armed man?
Well,
so that is a risk. I agree. But there are so many actors and actresses that could have been in The Fugitive. Elizabeth Montgomery, Candace Bergen, you know, a lot of people we never got to see.
Well, that's very true. So that's why I'm saying I think that you can't make a blanket statement about this and say it hurt the series, it didn't hurt the series. It all depends on what they're doing. It all depends on the actor. It all depends on the person. And also remember, some of these actors might have wanted to come back. I know that when The Twilight Zone was on the air, it became extremely popular. And actors, I read this in a book, actors actually were clamoring to get on it. They wanted their agents to put them in that. Well, put me in The Twilight Zone because it's a popular show. And I'm sure the same thing happened with The Fugitive. So if you have those people who their agent calls up and says, well, you know, he was in that story and he did a pretty good job, he wants to come back again, I can imagine it would have been very tempting to say, sure, we're not going to turn that down. We're going to let him come back. In a perfect world, you don't do that. Everything is different. But this is 120 episodes. This is 120. You're asking a lot if you want to see a different guest star in every single one of them.
But how many were available?
1 minute.
I'm sure there was a lot of people just dying to get on that show. And if you only have 30 episodes a season, I'm sure they had 100 people calling and say, hey, I want to get in there. I want to get in the episode.
Well, I think it would have, I would agree with you to this extent. I think it would have helped the series. I'm not prepared to say that what they did hurt the series because I really wasn't thinking about it. It didn't bother me that much. But it would have helped. It would have made it a better series. It would have made it more interesting to do that and then take and brought back, like you just mentioned, if you wanted to bring anybody back, bring them back as that character, especially in season 4 when they had nothing to do anymore.
Yeah.
Bring those people back, bring Suzanne Plachette back as the same character, bring all of those people
and
back.
And ironically, the only character they ever brought back as the same character was Sister Veronica, played by Eileen Heckert.
Right, and it's a lousy story. Nobody likes that story. It's not a very good story. Certainly not like the first one.
So, all right. Well, I think you covered this pretty well in depth. Folks, I want to remind you, in 1 hour, the second anniversary program of Talkin' Television with Dave White, which, among other things, will have a surprise guest who will be interviewed tonight. So, Bob and Kitty and Ken, thanks to you for a good discussion as usual.
Well, happy anniversary day.
Well, thank you, and I'll join you again in 2 weeks. Everybody else, stay tuned for Getting to Know You with Susan McCrae. See you in an hour here on KSAV, Share a Vision Radio.